It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This time last year, nearly the entire state was covered in some level of drought conditions.
Today, the U.S. Drought Monitor reports the state is entirely drought-free, and parts of the state have seen higher than average rainfall and even floods.
How are these shifting weather conditions affecting Wisconsin farmers? We've got two farmers with us for a look at last year's drought, this year's wet weather. Sarah Lloyd is a farmer in Columbia County and research fellow at the Center for Integrated Agricultural Systems. Sarah, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Great to be here.
And Dick Cates is co-owner of the Cates Family Farm in Spring Green. Dick, thanks for being with us today.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
Sarah, crops are a big part of your farm. What has the wet weather done for you so far this year?
Yeah, well, we run about 1,000 acres. We're three families in our farm, and we've been sort of spared from the huge deluges, but it's definitely challenging. It's challenging to get crops into the ground and then try to get like first crop payoff because it's so wet. And I know that our friends up in North Central, up by Wausau, they're even worse off. They've just had so much rain. It's almost impossible to farm.
And Dick, your main line is pasture-based beef cattle. Does wet weather help or hinder you? Has it been a bad year so far?
Yes, thanks for asking. Yes, we've had flooding. We have a class one trout stream that runs through our farm. And it certainly has flooded. But when you have a perennialized landscape, in other words, permanent grass, no soil leaves. That soil is held in place and the water runs clear. And we are able to maintain just fine with a lot of water. We lose some fencing, but it's all portable. We put that back up. So it's very fortunate.
And Dick, how about the dry weather last year? You weren't quite in the worst of it, I think, but you were pretty close to the border, if I'm reading the map right, of the hardest hit drought area in the state last year.
Yeah, it certainly was very dry into the middle of the summer. And once again, if you leave your grass long and don't take it down short like a lawnmower would do it. Leave those cattle in just short and move them every day to a new pasture. Your grass stays long and your soil stays moist and continues to grow grass. So it's a matter of keeping the ground covered and then managing that grass. And we made it through quite well last year in the drought.
And Sarah, how about you and last year's dry weather?
Yes, we definitely experienced issues with, you know, reduced yields in corn and alfalfa hay because of the dry weather. And I think what Dick is bringing up is, you know, in this increased volatility that we're seeing in the like super dry and then super wet, is we have to figure out ways of setting up cropping and production systems on our farms that have more resiliency. So maybe a better mix of crops, like Dick said, putting in well-managed continuous pasture, continuous living cover is a way of buffering farmers and farm families from this stress of the volatility that we're starting to see now more than ever because of climate change.
And Sarah, you mentioned volatility twice there, and that's what I wanted to ask about. If we've got a year of drought, a year of rainfall, and it's more complicated than that even, it depends on when the rain comes. Are you, Sarah, hearing a lot of other farmers talking about, okay, how can we be resilient? How can we have a plan in place that can account for, hey, it might be a year of drought, or it might be a year of near floods?
Yeah, people definitely are talking about it because our livelihoods are at stake and the stress is just really intense for farm families. So, you know, thinking of these diversified systems, how can we support ourselves and our neighbors to take the risk to move into new systems? Because what we've done over the last 50 years is people have become really specialized in like what they're farming. And then that leads to like this sort of all or nothing proposal. So if we can support people, we have, you know, crop insurance. There's a lot of money right now from the federal government coming down to the states and the counties to like support people as they think out like pasture plans or these sort of cover cropping and pasture and waterways. You know, how do we support people? Because it's a risk to change your system. But we need to put a better safety net under people. And so we need to look to our friends at the county and at the state agencies that have the technical support that can help farmers do that.
And Dick, I was looking at the Cates Family Farm website. You've had, it looks like, a long interest in conservation practices. You've already mentioned a couple things you're doing. What kind of things do you do planning for the long term to say, hey, we're going to have good pasture. We're going to have good conditions for our beef cattle, come rain or no rain.
Yes. And I mentioned them basically. It's important to have a system that mimics the way the bison moved across the grasslands, move them every day, and don't let them take that grass down too short, because if you have long grass, it stops the raindrops from hitting the soil and moving soil when you have a lot of rain, or it keeps the soil moist during dry periods. In fact, we've done a measurement where bare ground would be 20 degrees warmer than grass, than soil under 4 inches of grass in a hot, dry day. And, you know, some folks they're not going to want to graze their cattle the way we do, but putting more grass in, I have a very good friend who has moved some of their highly erodible land back into permanent grass because it holds soil in place effectively. Remember, this used to be oak savanna or grassland prior to European settlement. So it's what kept this land healthy for millennia.
So with this rotation, moving cattle from place to place, you mentioned some people don't want to do it. Is it because it's a little more labor intensive? You have to get the herd to a different spot every day?
Yeah, some people may not want to graze their cattle at all. They may want to keep them in a cool environment, but putting grass in will keep the soil in place in just a miraculous way. Managed grazing is a little more time intensive than just putting cattle out and not managing them, but it's much more responsible from our perspective, and we've been doing it 37 years. First year was the drought in 88, and that helped us get through that year. It's the responsible and the way to take care of our ecosystem and our public resources, which is our trout streams and our precious soil.
We've got two Wisconsin farmers with us, Dick Cates, co-owner of the Cates Family Farm in Spring Green, Sarah Lloyd, farmer in Columbia County, talking about resilience, planning for wet weather like this year, dry weather like this year, with conservation in mind. Sarah, let's talk about stress now, not on the ecosystem, but on the farmers themselves. We know farming, a stressful line of work, and then this weather, obviously farmers have no control over that. Can you talk about mental health in Wisconsin farmers?
Yes. I mean, I think the stress on farmers is intense right now. We have these very long situations of low prices. So, you know, my family actually up until about 7 weeks ago was dairy farming. After 100 years of dairy farming, our family finally said, look, something's got to give. It's too stressful. We're losing money. And so I think along with these systems, like out on the land, these ecological systems of farming, we have to think about the economic systems. You know, I talked about like kind of getting a safety net under people in the form of like crop insurance or forage insurance, or maybe it's a margin protection so that you know you're going to make a certain amount on your crop. These are all tools that we have in our toolbox. But we also need to think about like, why can't I know that I'm going to be able to cover my cost of production and have a reasonable return for my my business and my family. And so that's the thing where we, you know, we need more support for good, fair prices for farmers. And the other part of that, when stress comes to mind, is that, you know, I need health insurance as a farmer. You know, I work off farm particularly to bring health insurance back to my farm family. And so, you know, what other things can we do for our families and our households that can allow us to just not feel so at the edge of the cliff? And so anything with economic safety nets is super important.
And Dick, in our last minute or so, anything along those lines that would help make life a little more predictable on the Cates family farm?
Well, I think the health insurance is very big. It just simply doesn't make any sense that independent business owners, farmers in our case, can't get health insurance similar to someone who works in a corporate structure or for the state. But I'll say that in terms of the pricing, my family has been through everything that Sarah is talking about. For years, I ran 800 head of cattle because I was trying to make up where there's no margin with volume. And I worked myself to death. When my wife suggested I sell my own product and we sell it under our own name, it worked. And that was 30 years ago. Our son runs our business now. We sell everything under our own name, and we're down to 100 cattle. So it's much, farmers have some control of prices if we take charge of selling our products.
We'll leave it there. Dick, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you.
And Sarah, thanks for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
Sarah Lloyd is a farmer in Columbia County. Dick Cates is co-owner of the Cates Family Farm in Spring Green. We've been talking about the impact of changing weather on farming and well-being of farmers in general. You can join in. Farmers out there, how has the drought last year, the wet weather and flooding this year affected you and your operation? Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.